that very disgusted way, and she goes, sounds like you can speak good English.
She was pulling
that paper closer towards her face, so she couldn't see her.
Oh, how I was wrong.
He's got a knife, and then everyone's looking at me now.
Hello, and welcome to Colour Coded Podcast, the podcast where we talk about cultures, relationships, and all things life. Today's topic is going to be something that's really dear to our hearts, and something that is very important, particularly with what's going on in the news and the media at the moment. The topic we're talking about is a pretty big one, racism.
Yep, we're going to basically speak about some of the racist encounters that I've personally had and we've experienced as a couple. And yeah, we're just going to talk a little bit about it, exactly how we dealt with that at the time, and just look back at those instances and yeah.
See if anything's changed since then.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not.
Yeah. Obviously, when we first started to date, I used to always kind of mention every single thing that happened, I used to always kind of highlight, oh, it's probably because I'm Asian, or it's probably because this, that. And you was a little bit...
I was pretty dismissive, and I feel guilty about that, in all honesty.
Yeah, but I kind of understood it because you've probably not experienced that in your life.
And ever. I don't feel it myself.
Yeah, exactly,
so
yeah.
I think I was very naive to the reality of what people actually can be like.
Yeah.
And I've soon found out that people can be pretty nasty.
Yeah. And the thing is, obviously, again, I didn't, take any offence from your initial attitude because I understood you come from a small town, Cornwall, fishing village, very white.
Predominantly white, yeah.
Exactly. So, again, being with me, it's a learning curve. We understand, 100%. We learn so much from each other's culture. You've come a long way. And you've seen a lot of things now.
I've experienced some things.
Yeah.
So I think we should go straight in and spill the tea about a story time that is very prominent for me. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Is it a train incident?
It is.
That was a funny one. I remember that was the first time you actually witnessed pretty much racism up front.
And in public, in front of people.
In public, which was, it was...
Shocking event.
Yeah, the day started off lovely.
Mixed emotions.
Yeah, mixtures of emotions. It was a lovely day to start off with, but let me start the story.
Yeah,
it happened on the public network, the Tube.
Yep.
We was heading out, it was summer, so we had picnic stuff in a bag, heading out to central London just for a quick walk, people watch, maybe sit in St. James's Park. That's what we usually do, get some food, go there. And we entered the train, and we remember seeing this lovely lady sitting there with her dog.
Can I just say something about this lady before we enter?
Of course, yeah, go on.
So as soon as this lady got on, I was like, she is a vibe. Okay, let me describe her. She had a really cute little skirt on. It was really colourful top, but it matched, like almost clashed, but matched. Mm. And then she had these tights, which had different patterns on them. And she looked so cool.
She did.
She was older, so probably maybe like 60s, 70s maybe, would
you
say?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She looked very...
Long silver hair.
She looked really stylish. She looked really cool. She had a nice, very cute brooch. She had a little cute dog.
Little red shoes. And the dog kind of like, with a little white dog, like very, trot along next to her. Yeah. It was a vibe. When she came in, I was like, this lady is cool.
Yeah.
Oh, how I was wrong.
But anyway, we were sitting down, and then... Alex was feeling a little bit hot on that day. Again, the temperature was really warm. If you know London Tubes and the trains in London, they get really, really stuffy.
They get stuffy.
Especially on hot days because they don't have aircon. So you have these little vents, barely push out any air. So Alex is like, oh, can you go and put one of the windows down? So I said, yeah, no problem. So I stood up fairly quickly because I just wanted to get it done and come back and sit down.
Meanwhile, I'm watching this lady because I'm like, she looks really cool. Like, I'm, in my head, I'm like, what does she do? What's she like? You're kind of imagining what somebody's like. And I see her it was a black backpack. Look at the black backpack fall over because as he got up, it kind of fell. Look at AFSA, look back at the backpack and look at AFSA again. And I was like, what's going on? So surely she cannot be doing what I'm thinking she's doing.
Mm-mm.
Bearing in mind, I don't think she realises we're together, which we get quite often, don't we?
Yeah,
People often don't realise we're together. That's fine. Not your typical couple, I don't think. But, I was like, no, surely not. It was.
Yeah, so as soon as I came back down, I see her looking at me. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is... And I just smiled back at her. Like, you smiled.
We're in a good mood.
Yeah, it was happy.
And
if someone looks at you, just smile. Just give them a friendly smile. That's what I've always been taught. And then she leant over and said something. But obviously, like I said, the train is quite loud. People are talking next to us as well. There are a few other passengers. And then she said something. So obviously, I couldn't hear her. So I said, oh, can you repeat that? I
thought she really was smiley. Like, he was in a good mood.
So I just asked her again, can you repeat that? I thought she was asking for some advice or some directions, or, you know, she was just asking a question. And I leant over as well. So we're literally face-to-face talking. And she goes, oh, did you ask me, or did you ask us if you can put the window down? I said, sorry, I was so confused by then. I'm like, I've never been told that I have to ask everyone in the carriage before I can open a window.
Can you imagine being on a tube? If you've been on, especially rush hour, it wasn't rush hour, but in rush hour, it's like sardines. You're packed on there. There is no space. And even when you're not, people don't even make eye contact. Mm. Never mind ask, can you open a window? I think if you ask somebody if you can open a window,
they'll
be like,
weird.
Are you okay?
Just
like,
do it.
Why are you asking? Like, just open it. Most of the time, they're always open anyway, aren't they? Because it's vile on there. But anyway.
And then I start to sense a little bit of attitude coming from her. And then I'm like, sorry, I don't understand. I didn't know I have to ask for permission to open the window. And it was just a little bit. So I was really, really confused. And then she said something else. I said, she was basically pulling me up on what I was saying. And then I said, so I was getting a little bit frustrated now. I'm like, I don't understand. And then I think Alex obviously interjected and said, oh, no, I asked him to pull the window down because I'm feeling hot.
Yeah.
And then she looked at Alex and then she looked at me. And then
she was confused.
She was so confused.
She was confused. What is this white girl doing with this Asian man?
Yeah. And then so I'm like, no, I'm just smiling at her, but I'm a bit frustrated. And she says something else. And I'm getting frustrated now because I don't really understand where this...
And by the way, can we just say, the reason she didn't want the window open wasn't even because of like the wind or the cold air coming through. It's because it was too noisy. It was noisy anyway. It's not making any difference.
The thing is, if you want your surroundings in a certain way, just get yourself an Uber, get yourself a cab. I don't know. Do you know what I mean? You could control them. If you're in public, it's for the public. You know, you're not going to get everything you want in the public. Literally. Anyway, she was a bit confused. And then she could see I was getting annoyed because she said, oh, it would be polite if you asked. And then I said, listen, it's the public transport. I don't need to ask every single... I'm not going to go up and down. And then she could see I'm getting frustrated. So she goes, well... And then she looked at me up and down in a very disgusted way. And she goes, sounds like you could speak good English. There's no need for you to respond like that.
And I'm actually shaking by this point. Like, out of, like, not that I'm fearful, but I'm just... My adrenaline is running through my body because I'm like, surely not. And the English comment is a bit where I was like, okay, yeah, this is 100% a racist, aggravated incident. Like,
And at that time, I looked around the carriage like, am I...
Everybody was watching, weren't they? They were trying not to look, yeah, but, like...
They were all in their own world, but they heard but they didn't carry on the conversation, so they didn't really want to get involved. And obviously, then I look to my left and I see Alex, and I can see Alex visibly upset, like she's actually witnessing this happening, like right in front of our faces.
My lovely Afsa is literally the kindest person, so sweet, would do anything for anyone. You know, if she needed help, he would have been the first one to help her. Is getting attacked like this? It was just the most shocking thing I've ever experienced. I just was so surprised with it. I feel a little bit naive now when I look back, but at the time that was my reality.
I think what was the shocking thing for me, because it just came out of nowhere, it felt like she was looking for an excuse to let her views come across, or her frustration come across, and she just picked at that.
She was
just
hiding it behind the window.
And then she just wanted to kind of let her, I don't know why it was, she just wanted to let this out, this rant or whatever it was.
Didn't like that you were an Asian man sat on the tube with a backpack who had the audacity, oh my goodness, to open the window.
And I didn't ask her if I can open the window. Anyway, that happened. And then obviously that's when you know...
I can't even remember what I said, but I definitely interjected at that point.
You just were so frustrated, and then you couldn't believe what she was saying, and so blatantly being, you know, racist and discriminatory. I don't know how to say that, but anyway.
The English is failing you now.
It's failing me now, yeah. But anyway, you had a go, and then you kind of just told me, like, calm down, because you could see I was getting a little bit annoyed as well.
She also tried to correct my gamma.
Yeah, you're having a problem with English now as well. You're hanging around with me too much, Alex.
She tried to correct my grammar, not knowing that I literally teach for a living. Like, this is literally what I do. But anyway.
And the worst thing was, she goes, it would be, she was going on this whole thing about, oh, being, it would be nice, it would be polite. While the whole time she had a dog on the seat next to her.
Yeah.
So, but we didn't want to, so at that time, we just said,
like, we don't mind animals being on the seat. No. Like, do whatever you want to do.
But if you're going to,
if you're going to tell, in fact, if you want to show somebody how to be polite, don't be chatting to them across the tube and telling them off. That's not polite.
Practice what you preach, basically.
Literally.
And anyway, so Alex had a go, like, told her, like, look, he doesn't need to ask you for permission. Yeah. I felt hot. I told him to open a window. So if you're going to have a go at anyone, talk to me. That's when she just basically tried to correct you and your grandma. Grandma, you didn't like that.
No, and then, I didn't like that.
And then basically calmed down then. We just had our conversation between us and, you know, we're just having a laugh. We're just trying to make the situation,
trying to process.
Yeah, it was obviously we were having a minute to process it. We're just talking amongst each other and just making the situation, trying to make it a little bit more lighthearted. And at the same time, we was literally saying, oh, she's talking about being polite, but she's got a dog on her seat. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a bit, like, what are you talking about?
And then karma is beautiful. So,
I love karma.
So what happened was,
if you didn't believe karma exists, now
listen to this though. This is,
you will know karma exists.
So we go a couple of stops, and next minute we're just sitting there. The dog gets up and the dog just vomits all over the sofa, all over the train seat.
Orange, and, like, oh, so it was much horrible. Vom. I remember so much vom.
But the worst thing is, yeah, me and Alex saw it happen right in front of us.
So we're, like, dying of laughter. Like, I feel sorry for this dog again. We love animals, but we're so, like, shaken up by the whole event.
Interaction.
And the whole interaction. And then she's telling us to be polite, and her dog is literally vomiting on the tube seat.
But the worst thing is, yeah, she tried to ignore it. She tried to act like nothing has happened. She was pulling that paper closer towards her face so she couldn't see the sick.
Literally.
And then, and we're literally, like, laughing. And then, like, obviously, we was going to tell her, sorry, your dog's been sick. But then on the next stop, a lady came on the tube and sat right next to Alex. And then she saw the dog, basically, obviously, right next to the sick.
And I think he was sick twice, wasn't he? It was, like, a little bit and then a little bit more.
A little bit more. And then the lady kind of pulled out some tissues and we watched it and she passed it to her.
This is, like, one nose tissue.
Yeah, she goes,
all this vomit.
And then she goes, oh, excuse me, I think your dog's been sick. And me and Alex are there just laughing. And at this point, she did not want to look at us. Like, she did not want to make any eye contact at all. And then she goes, oh, really? Oh, okay. And then
she's forced to clean this up because everyone's
watching her. And now she's literally trying to, oh, this is horrible. I'm so sorry.
I can literally visualize
this. It's horrible. She tries to scoop up the sick on this tissue. And then the lady, I think she gave her another tissue because she saw she was struggling. And anyway, she scooped and she's holding this sick in her hand. Then she finally takes the dog off the seat. And then, obviously, the next stop, she just wants to get off. She got off at the next stop.
I don't even think she was intending to get off. I think she just wanted to get out of there.
And then she just got off the next day at the next station. And then, obviously,
there's still vomit on the seat and on
the floor. We put newspaper on the seat. Someone was going to sit on it. Yeah.
So I literally was like, I cannot have anybody sit in this vomit. Like, as much as awful as that woman was and as shaken up as I am, I'm not allowing anybody to sit on that dog vomit.
So, yeah, I think on that stop, someone came in and was going to literally, she wasn't looking and she was going to sit. So Alex stopped them and said, sorry, a dog's been sick. She moved over to the next seat and then we put newspaper on that seat.
Because we were getting off. So we were like, okay, there's not much we can do. I'm not clearing up her dog's vomit. No. But at least I'm going to put something down so that they either pick it up and see that there's vomit there or they sit on top of the newspaper.
Or somewhere else. Yeah. But anyway, that started the day off and basically, obviously, what happened with the dog kind of made it a little bit funny. But at the same time, we was a little bit, obviously, I know
you're like serious undertones. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is, for somebody to be outwardly racist on a tube in front of other members of the public is just so shocking. Mm. And this does happen a lot, and I'm aware now that it does. But I just couldn't process that for a really long time.
I'm not gonna lie. It the whole day I did. I was trying my best to kind of, you know, because these things happen, and obviously you've not really experienced it firsthand, and I'll be real with you, I've only really experienced outward racism in my late 20s.
Yeah.
when I was younger, maybe I was oblivious to it. Obviously, I've seen it here and there, but never directed at me. In football, a lot, yes, because that environment, it kind of isn't the best. You go to tournaments, you hear things, murmurs and whatnot. But that's when I'm talking about in my adulthood, it was only towards my late 20s I started to see directed at me. But I know it shook you up a little bit. But anyway, we made the... That's kind of stuck with us for a long time now.
Yeah.
But then when looking back at it, there's always been these little micro...
Aggressions
and instances where we've kind of had some sort of racist remark made towards our relationship or myself directly. Yeah. But that was the train incident.
How did you feel when that happened?
I don't know. To be honest with you, I was just shocked because I thought I was pretty well spoken and I was being very polite to her. So when she said, sounds like or looks like you could speak good English, I was like, wow, like, where did that come from? I was a bit shocked. But yeah, it was, I just, obviously, in first instance, I'm a bit shocked and anger and, you know, frustration. But luckily you was there. Like, I wasn't going to do anything to the lady or say anything. I was just getting annoyed. I was just getting frustrated. But you calmed me down and, obviously, the whole situation changed with the dog incident. It became quite funny.
Yeah.
But that little incident kind of stuck up with us for a while. Yeah. But
yeah, definitely. And I think I even remember actually crying, like, tears.
Yeah, you did.
And I
was
so embarrassed. I was like, why am I... Like, this is not targeted at me. But I think it was, like, this, like, deep feeling of empathy towards you and thinking, I cannot believe somebody would be like that to you. And it just made me really, really sad.
Yeah.
But that's not the only one, is it?
No, but again...
That's the worst, I would say. But we've still got a few juicy stories.
Yeah, for me, that wasn't the worst one.
Wasn't it?
No. What's so there was another one when, again, this is a very blatant outwardly. This is the point when, obviously, people like... I think UKIP was a very high, like, in their peak as well at that time.
Reform now.
I work in Chelsea, so... I work in a very affluent area. I work in a suit and tie. I used to wear a suit and tie to work.
Not anymore. You work from home now.
No,
used to work.
But when I used to go into the office before COVID, this was... I had an overcoat. I looked quite smart,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, 100%.
After work, I was heading to another meeting. And it was busy. I had my headphones in. And it was rush hour. So I was rushing through people and not bumping into anyone. But I went past this... man, and then through my headphones, I hear shouting. So I turn around, I see this man looking at me very aggressively and shouting. So I turn my headphones off and I go, sorry, did you say something?
Yeah.
Not in an aggressive way, just like, sorry, I didn't hear that. Are you okay? And then he said, what the F you looking at? I'm like...
Bearing in mind, you're literally looking the other way around.
I was literally heading towards the station. I only saw him after. And then he goes, then I'm like, sorry? And then he goes, yeah, what, are you here to groom our women? And I'm like, I'm looking around me right now. I'm looking around and like, because it's busy, like loads of people on either side of the road going to the station, coming from the station, and it was very, very busy. And I'm like, sorry? And he goes, yeah, you people groom our women? And I'm like, what?
But this is a white guy.
A white guy, older, probably in his 40s.
Oh, okay.
He didn't look... He looked quite fit. Like,
was big, he by himself?
By himself, big guy as well. And I'm like, sorry, man, I don't know what you're talking about. He goes, what? And then he started to get more aggressive. So I said... That's when I started to get a little bit aggressive as well. I said, listen, if you're going to say something, come a bit closer. Because he was walking away and shouting at me. So I started walking towards him. And then out of nowhere... But bear in mind, I'm in a suit and a big jacket. It's like autumn time. And he goes, he shouts from the top of his mouth. He goes, oh, he's got a knife. Well, you're going to stab me, are you? You're going to stab me. Yeah. He's got a knife. And then everyone's looking at me now. Everyone's looking at
me. Wow.
And now I'm looking around. Everyone's thinking I'm trying to stab this man. I'm literally leaving to go to a meeting after work, to another meeting. And anyway, I'm like, what? And then this woman,
flipping that narrative.
Yeah, a woman on the bus stop. This was right by a bus stop. So imagine loads of people there seeing all of this. And a woman saw what's happening and saw me walking towards him. And she came over, lovely woman. And she goes, look, there's no need for this. Like, just leave him alone. He's clearly not well. let's just walk away. And I'm like, I know, but he's literally accusing me of grooming, like, that's what you're saying.
And having an eye.
Yeah, and he's saying, he's being racist towards me, and then he's flipping it, saying, I've got an eye. He goes, listen, look, we've all seen it, look, we've all heard it, just don't. He doesn't seem...
It's not worth
it. Yeah, it's not worth it.
Thank you to that woman.
Yeah, and honestly. Then she literally walked with me. She put her arms around me and said, look, just come, just go to the station. There's no point of this. And then I can still hear him shouting in the background and literally making my blood boil. But she's like, look, honestly, I've been... Bless her. She's like, I've been there, like, look, just... No point of it, because he's not well.
Yeah, you're
he's
not probably, gonna
yeah, you're not
right?
gonna get anywhere with someone with that mentality. Just go.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I'll go. And then she let me walk off to the station, and she went back to the bus stop. And then, yeah, that was it. Really, that was, and I was shocked at that because that was the first time I ever had someone aggressively come at me. Yeah, like
and then
that.
Also play the victim as well. So that they're coming at you, and then flip it to like you being the aggressor.
Yeah,
and...
that was shocking to me because again, I didn't know. How to feel, because again, firstly, I felt like a victim of racism. And the next minute, I felt like I was, again, the aggressor when I wasn't, because he was, and he played the victim. And it was just like back and forth. And then people start looking at me because some people only heard him say, oh, he's gonna stab me. Oh, he's got a knife. And I'm like,
I've got... And obviously that's going to like pick up.
Exactly.
Is there going to be like a knife? Like, is there danger for me now?
Exactly. And the worst thing is, if people don't know what's happening in this conversation, they're going to see an Asian man and hear he's got a knife. Imagine they go back...
Even that in itself is racist. Do you know what I mean? It has racist undertones of like, Asian man going to be the aggressor, going to be the bad guy.
But it's the thing of, imagine these people go back home or they see the next person. For example, they go to a pub, they go to a cafe. Oh my God. An Asian guy was trying to attack a man with a knife earlier.
Yeah.
Without knowing the full story.
That narrative,
and then that's going to, you know what I mean? All these stories start to build up and then the narrative is already made, and then another person will get, you know what I mean? The thing is, with racism, obviously it's out there.
Yeah.
But what is the scariest for me? I don't care what's happened to me because I could handle myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I could deal with situations like that. What is the worst thing for me? The thing I worry about the most is my mum, my sister, and my auntie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And the Muslim sisters and, you know what I mean, the aunties around that wear the hijab. That, you know, obviously recently you've had someone trying to pull the... Obviously it happens a lot now. They try to pull the hijab.
Yeah,
in Whitechapel, they try to pull the hijab off. And, you know, just it's really, really sad what's happening. And
the thing about, if we just talk about the Whitechapel incident, if you guys haven't watched that, I highly recommend you have a look. Not because I want you to see it, but because I want you guys to understand what is actually happening. This was an incident in a tube station. I can't remember which tube station. Can you?
I think it was Whitechapel tube station.
Oh, yeah, of course. Whitechapel tube station. And this woman is in there, young girl. I don't know how old she is. Early 20s, maybe?
No, the group of girls look quite young. They look like teenagers, to be honest with you. But the lady that stood up for them, she looked like she was in her 20s, probably early 20s.
So there's,
bless her, she was
so there's a young hero. A young woman who was walking through the tube station in a hijab, and a man came up and pulled her hijab off, which is the most disgraceful thing to do. One, why are you touching somebody? Why are you coming up to a woman? Like, what are you doing? Just back off.
Mm.
And two, the fact that is, you know, she has chosen to wear that hijab because she wants to be modest and she wants to have her hair covered. It's not your right to then take that away from somebody. Like, it's just such backward thinking.
Mm.
But obviously, it was a racist incident and it was awful.
Yeah, Islamophobia at the moment is very, very high, along with racism. You know, it's so sad that we're in the time now where we see it blatantly.
And it's normalised.
And,
as
yeah,
well.
People feel like...
In politics. And...
Yeah, people feel like they can actually get away with it and say these things and do these acts, horrible acts. And, it's a very sad state of affairs at the moment.
Yeah, if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please do send it over. We'd love to kind of hear from you guys as well and hear your experiences, because it really opens our eyes up to what is actually happening out there. But I agree with what you're saying. I think if you all kind of have something like a hijab on, you are more vulnerable.
100%,
essentially. And it is really sad that we live in 2024 where there are people who fear to go out. I think that kind of brings us to the end of this. Thank you so much for listening to Colour Coded. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you want to follow us on socials, it is Colour Coded, CULRCODED. If you enjoyed it, make sure you like, subscribe, follow whatever platform you are on, and we will see you in the next one. Bye.